Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we are back with our 7th level, 33.1. And we have returning 33.1 members of Chris Fuchs.
Hello.
Casey Cochran.
Hey, great to be here.
Dallas Hernandez.
Hola.
And we have a new recruit, Mr. James Bandini the Second. What's up, James?
Howdy, howdy. What's up, what's up?
Welcome to 33.1.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So as our newest member, gotta ask, what's your story? How did you find Smallville? More importantly, frankly, how did you find the podcast and become a fan?
I'm only 25, so in second grade, my father and sister were watching this show about Superman, and of course I've seen the Christopher Reeves movies by then, and I was just like, okay, I'll watch it, and then I'm just like hooked. It's been my show ever since, and I'm actually the only one who ever consistently watched it. And even back in the day, I rewatched it, even after like it happened. So I'm like just always watching it. So after years of just constantly rewatching it and just, you know, programming it into my brain, I'm like, you know what? It's podcasts. It's like 2020. There's got to be some podcasts out there. So just like diving in, and you had the most volume. So I dove right in, and I'm happy to be here for every Lana Kills and blue shirt, red jacket. You know, every single tally board gives me life.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you found the podcast. Yes, I guess by this point, we are almost halfway through. We're halfway there.
Oh!
We probably have more episodes than any other Smallville podcast at this point. I mean, I haven't listened to any other Smallville podcasts. I don't want to be like, it's like, you know, when Tom Welling got the part, he's like, I'm not going to read any comic books. I don't want to be influenced. That's me. I don't want to listen to any Smallville podcast. Before I started, I know there was the Smallville House of L. That's a big thing. Now, I did listen to their Krypton episodes when they were covering that show. Those were cool. But I've never listened to one of their episodes on Smallville. They were really the only other one. I know after I started.
It was called Starkville House of L.
There it is. Starkville House. Because one of the guys' names was Stark. Is that why?
I never listened to it. I don't know. But I heard of the title.
You weren't just Game of Thrones fans or something
like
that?
Yeah, exactly. Right? It doesn't make sense.
Or Iron Man fans.
Yes, very true. Very true. Here we are. Yes, we have the biggest volume, I guess. And so I'm glad you found us that way. And hope you've been enjoying the obviously, you have because you signed up to be a patron. And now
we're on the podcast.
So.
I mean, I was a little upset to catch up because it's like, no, I like my binging. I like, you know, 3 or 4 at a time, you know, just like go right through it because I'll watch the episodes sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I watch the episodes beforehand and have a fresher take on them. And now that I'm caught up, it's hard.
Yeah. So you've caught up. Okay. So that's a whole different experience. I've been there, man. Listen to podcasts. You get caught up. You're like, it's great. You know, you do it all day long. You're whatever menial task you're doing and you can listen to something with, you listen to it, and then you're like, oh, I'm a what do I do now? Right? You've seen the ends of the earth, and you're like, there's got to turn back. I'm going to shed a tear.
Yeah, so. I'm actually back on season 7 of Smallville. Just for whatever reason, I just pick up a season and I'll just go with it. So
what are your thoughts on season 7? You a big fan?
It's the last season of the true Smallville nature of the show. It's true brand, you know, before it gets off into its like mini series seasons where it just like it does whatever it does in season 8 with Davis and that whole thing. And then season 9 is kind of like if you ended it at 9, you know, you would be fine. You know, it's great. But then you gave us 10 and 10 was a little wonky. But all in all, there's still some treasure in 10. That you wouldn't have gotten if you weren't given 10.
Yeah, no, 10 is more hit or miss than season 9. Mm-hmm. I think season 9 is more consistent. I mean, there's some great episodes in season 10. So I'm glad there is 10 seasons. But you're right. I think there is it's less consistent, shall we say. What is it? What's like the harvest?
Oh, God.
That's not very good.
The Holy ISIS? Rollers from Hell line from Harvest. Or whenever they're like kidnapped and there's the blue kryptonite and it's the Amish people, you know, and Lois is like, get me away from these holy rollers from hell. I'm like, Erica Durance, you just Thank God.
The intro to that episode is awesome. I always love that stuff when you have the moment where, you know, like Lois knows now, and they're like, Clark's like explaining Kryptonian.
Let's not forget that's after the previous episode where she became Isis. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you weren't yourself.
Exactly. Plus one. So, yeah, you know, Harvest, though, has a cool subplot with the clone Lex kid. That was a cool subplot. But anyway, Casey, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I really appreciate whenever they have Clark explaining past events to someone on the show, because you've very rarely got that, like to see the... see Lois's or Chloe's reaction a couple times when we saw just a couple little things. I would have been okay if they would have done that just a little bit more on the show.
They never did it with Lana.
No.
Like how many times would it have been like, wait, that was you?
that was you in the tornado. That was 6 years ago.
That could have been a whole episode.
You were there. I wasn't dreaming.
I would watch a whole episode of like them sitting and talking about every. See, what if they should have done a flashback episode,
a clip
right?
show.
A clip show, and they're sitting there talking, and we see. I would love that. That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
So
I was watching X-Ray earlier, and I'm just like, and I forget some of these things. I'm just like, if they ever actually like talked about the things that happened to them throughout the season, like, do you remember when like your girlfriend Alicia died and like something or other like that, and just like written or the head injuries or the other like the brain trauma that
well
you
that's,
know,
that's why they don't remember, because they've been knocked out so much they have drained the brain trauma.
Exactly.
So the show is already on top of it. They thought that through clearly. So well, cool. Well, no, I always ask people about season 7, because after rewatching season 4, season 7 is now my de facto least favorite season. But probably season 6 is going to be, I think, when we get there. We'll see. So.
I will have a disclaimer that I do love season 4.
Okay. Well, you know, I liked it better when I rewatched it. I think everybody agrees. I came around to a certain degree. I don't rank it last anymore. I do think when all the chips are down, or the chips are down, these civilized people, when all the cards are on the table, when the podcast is over, I think 4 will be ahead of 6 and 7. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know, I think the reason, like, obviously a lot of people love season 4, and I love a lot of episodes in season 4, and I'm okay with the lesser episodes at this point, but I think it was just a little bit of a drop-off after how good seasons 2 and 3 were, and that's why, you know, the people who find it disappointing found it somewhat disappointing.
By the way, did I introduce the Lancers here?
You sure didn't. I think people would have recognized my voice earlier, especially when we did the Bon Jovi bit. So, yeah. What's up, everybody?
Lance Laster here was my special guest on this 33.1. Sometimes we're hanging out. We actually just recorded a commentary, pulling back the curtain on Blade Trinity.
Yeah.
Which will come out before you hear this.
Yeah.
So that's a terrible movie. That's
it's really bad, y'all.
That is all y'all are on 33.1, so you'll get to hear our commentary. If
Lance
you so
is always on the round tables after Blade.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen any of the Blade movies.
Well, don't watch 3.
I highly recommend the first two, but the third one is as bad as everyone says it is.
I've only seen 3 because I had a buddy who was like, okay, before Deadpool comes out, you have got to watch this, because this is why they cast Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
That's true. Yeah. He does play Deadpool in the movie. That's an accurate statement.
Oh, wow.
But you could also argue
Not
he
really
plays
Deadpool
in everything he does.
Yeah, he just is Deadpool. Yeah. No, he plays a character called the Hannibal King. And he just talks.
Dallas,
basically Deadpool.
That reminds me of the way I first watched the Superman movies. I caught part of Superman 2 on TV. It was my first exposure to the Superman movies. I'd already seen a bunch of Lois and Clark at that point. And strangely enough, I also caught the first time I watched anything Back to the Future was part 2 after the future scene that was on TV. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? This is weird.
You watch movies the way Chris Nolan makes them, basically.
Well, that was just happy accidents.
Well, okay, now that we've all been introduced. Sorry. Well,
it's all good.
Okay, we were talking before, like pregame, before we started recording. Lance was here. We interacted. We talked some. I forgot that he was here.
Yep.
I'm looking at a screen with him sitting right next to me, so there's really no excuse. So.
There could be other commentary on that, but we're gonna pass that
just
over.
We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going here. And so James, since you're new, welcome aboard. Is there anything Smallville specific you'd like to discuss? I will say that we are going to talk about the Snyder Cut, because that was our breaking news. We're all very excited to discuss that. depending on what your point of view is, I guess. But I know Dallas is a big fan of Snyder Cut. We're all interested in it. So we're going to definitely talk about that, save that for last. But if anything, you know, we're a Smallville podcast, so if anything Smallville related or, you know, superhero related, super, anything, whatever you have on your docket, James, let us know, and we can round robin in here at the round table.
I know I'm just like sidestep for a minute, but I just remembered something that I, in the last episode that I was watching of Smallville, he meets Daxer, which is, you know, supposed to be like Jaxer.
Jimmy Olsen from Jimmy Olsen from Superman movies. Yep.
There you have it.
And Back to the Future. Marty McFly's brother. Don't forget it. I always wear a suit to the office, Marty.
On Saturday. What's up with that?
It's a Saturday. Exactly. What the hell, man? Please continue, James.
Oh, yeah. And so he's like, because Clark wants the blue kryptonite to get rid of Bizarro and whatnot. And he's like, what's her name? And he's like, well, this is exactly what happens in, like, Crisis. He gives up his powers to be with the love of his life or, you know, raise his family. So it's just like, oh, parallels. Just like one little tidbit that I just had.
Oh, well, that raises a good question. I know we all here have talked about Crisis very much, but what was your take on the end of Smallville and Crisis on Infinite Earths?
It was the true to Smallville, and I didn't want him to see him in a suit. I didn't care to see him in a suit because that wasn't what Smallville was about. You know what I mean? And to see, it wouldn't have changed anything for me. Whether or not he had his powers, that didn't make much to me. But like you said on another, I think 33.1, if he was in the scene with at least the other Superman, regardless of what costume he was in, that would have been cool to see. But overall, I was still pleased just to see the farm one last time.
Yeah, I mean, him and Tyler Hoechlin, I mean, it's like, there's really no comparison. But it would have been cool to see him with Brandon Routh, you know, because that was the internet in 2005 and 6.
Yeah.
Like, it's Tom Welling versus Brandon Routh, and that's what I would want to, I would have wanted to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm on record here saying I love the ending, and I'm very satisfied with it. I actually recently got Arrow Season 8 on Blu-ray, because it came out recently. And they have its own disc for Crisis on Infinite Earths, so I think I'm going to rewatch it at some point here and see if it holds up. Because I remember, you know, obviously I really liked the second episode, the Batwoman episode with Smallville in it, and Kevin Conroy as Bruce Wayne. I mean, that was great. Brandon Routh as Superman. The first three were good. That I just remember being, I just disappointed in the last two, and I'm wondering if I like them anymore now if I watch them all together. So we'll see.
You know, another thought I had about the Smallville season Crisis. Seems kind of like it was kind of a passing of the torch moment for Tom Welling to Tyler Hoechlin, the way, you know, similarly how Christopher Reeve and Tom Welling shared scenes in Smallville.
I can see that.
But there wasn't a scene with Tyler Hoechlin and Tom Welling in it together, though.
No, he was there.
Tyler Hoechlin.
Really, like, there for like 30 seconds.
I thought Tyler Hoechlin disappeared right before Clark showed up.
No. They talked to him for like a minute. And then John Cryer shows up.
Yeah.
So easy to forget, though. There was I'm not. I can see why you forget that for sure.
Superman and the toilet paper guy.
Yeah, the Brawny Brawny towels guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not cosplaying as Clark this time. 30.1. I know. I think the last couple I was wearing my red flannel. Yeah. So. But hey, it's the summer. Like
you're Henry Cavill in Mission Impossible right now.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We're gonna CGI out my mustache later.
Did you guys hear the news about him?
Terrible.
I did. I mean, it's not really official news yet. We'll see. I'm not going to believe anything about anything until he's actually on set in a Superman costume filming. I mean, honestly, I could care less about him back as Superman. I just would like all this to lead to Batfleck back as Batman. So that's, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's fine as Superman, whatever. But like, I mean, I'd rather see Brandon Routh play Superman again in a movie than Henry Cavill. That's just my take. So hot take. Yeah, I'm very excited for Man of Steel 2, Casey, if that was the answer you were looking for.
It's not about Man of Steel 2. It's just about kind of the way Marvel treats the Hulk as far as being kind of a side character showing up in other characters' movies.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? What about Chris? What do you think about that?
That's upsetting. I want Man of Steel 2. I mean, I'll take what I can get.
Of course I want Man of Steel 2 with Henry Cavill.
I wanted Man of Steel 2 before we got a BVS. So
I agree.
I'm all in for a Man of Steel 2.
Well, it's like, honestly, it feels like there was a window there for Man of Steel 2, much like there was a window for a Black Widow movie.
Yep.
Right? And they missed it.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't care about a Black Widow movie in 2021. Making 2010, that would have been great.
Yeah.
But you guys waited way too long.
Yeah.
So I don't. So, James, what's your? Do you have any investment in the DCEU? What's your take on all this?
Well, when it comes down to Batfleck or whatnot, I mean, obviously they. I agree with what they should have made a Man of Steel 2 before that, because they dove too quickly into that. And I like Man of Steel in itself, but when you add Batfleck to it, and you know, B versus Superman, it kind of derails the original mission, and because it really was about Batman. It wasn't really a Superman movie at that point, but it was, and it just didn't mesh well, in my opinion. And Jesse Eisenberg is not my first choice for anything.
Correct.
I'm with you on that one. I'm with you.
And
he was a good Zuckerberg.
I think the post-credit scene was.
There's
the
a
best.
Reason for that.
Yeah,
I think was a Deathstroke in that post-credit scene.
Yes.
I would rather seen whatever movie was going to happen after that happened. Mm-hmm. It was going to be better than that.
I agree.
Wonder Woman is probably my second favorite over Man of Steel, and then mm-hmm. Aquaman is probably my third right now.
Yeah, cool. That's a solid top three.
I think Batman v Superman should have been two movies. I think that they tried to set up too much, and then they tried to pull it through, and it just didn't hit home because they didn't build it up enough. So there could have been a Man of Steel 2 before that, where you have Superman and Clark Kent in the world building up that he actually means something. He stands for hope. You can even have Batman in it in the background, kind of building up what he did, and then you know they can either come to the head at the end of that, and then the next movie can be Doomsday or something. It was too much. Even with the extended cut, they should have stretched it out more.
The extra 3 minutes changed everything, man.
No, it didn't. it changed nothing.
It did help.
It definitely helped. But I think if you liked the movie, you like it more. If you didn't like it, that's not going to make you like it.
No. Yeah. So it's just more Clark Kent was good.
Speaking of Lex Luthor in the movie, you know, the villain from Shazam was a better Lex Luthor than
Mark Strong.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love
Sinestro.
Mark Strong. He was a great Sinestro.
He was.
Yeah, I mean, he was the best part of that movie. And
And the post-credit where he actually goes yellow?
Yeah. If only Green Lantern had not been mediocre at best movie.
Horrible movie, yeah.
But maybe we'll see Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern in the Snyder Cut. Well, we'll talk about that. Put a pin in that. But yes, I mean, if there's a Man of Steel 2, of course I'm going to see it and like it. But like, I don't really have a lot of emotional investment in Henry Cavill as Superman at this point. Because I feel like the window has closed. I'm like, what? And there was so much back and forth about it. Like, is he coming back? Are we going to see his face in Shazam? I don't know. Like, it's like, I don't. All that kind of soured me on the whole thing. But hey, we'll see. Maybe the Snyder Cut will reinvigorate my interest in it. But the thing is, there has not been a solo Batfleck movie. And I feel robbed. And I want Bat more than anything else in the DCEU. So that's why I lean more towards that. But of course, I would like to see Man of Steel 2. Maybe with Brainiac. That'd be nice to see in a movie. Right? I mean, come on. He's
about
great on
time.
Krypton, so just use
my,
that.
My desire is more to avoid recasting, even if it's this late in the game.
Well, we're going to have to recast the Choker.
Well, that's fine, but I'm talking about...
Who's going to be Joaquin Phoenix, bro? What are you talking about?
No, I said the Choker.
Oh, I thought you said Joker. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, the Choker.
Yeah, let's just ignore the Flash. Can we get Wally West here? Stat.
But yeah, I just look forward to the fact that if he comes back, it's because it's just going to avoid another recasting.
Yeah, I do not want recasting.
That we don't need.
No. There's plenty of characters in this universe. We don't need to recast anyone. If they're not of it, if we're changing actors, put them in their own pocket universe and ignore them.
Yeah, well, when it comes down to all of this and then the Batman with, you know, R. Pattinson and all that, like how does this factor in? That confuses me. I'm concerned, like, the timeline, you know, like, will he be replacing them? Like, because I want that, like, the Justice League was a really, I liked the movie. It was really enjoyable, but it wasn't the best that I thought it could be. And if there was a Man of Steel 2 that had more of a, you know, apocalyptic and, you know, plot line to kind of follow up to that, to set the stage larger, that would have been more interesting. But I'm just worried that we're not going to get more of a joined universe and it's going to be split off.
I don't know what they're thinking now. I think maybe before, when Henry Cavill was, it seemed to be done, right? I mean, that seemed to be the general consensus that he wasn't coming back at all. If there's no Batman and no Superman, they might have thought, well, we'll just recast them both, whatever, right? But now, Aquaman is strong. Wonder Woman is strong. People like Shazam. Like, you got three heroes there. You have Superman coming back. And it's like, well, do we really want to add a different Batman? Or do we want to reconsider this? So I think that opens the door back up for Batfleck. And you just put the Batman over, like, in its own pocket universe with Joker. Or even mix those together. I don't know. I don't know what...
Or treat it like a flashback.
Well, I don't know what time period that takes place in. Like, if it's in the 90s, you can see that's young Batfleck. I don't know. I mean, I am not a fan of Robert Pattinson being Batman in any way, shape, or form. So I am just not interested, but I'll see it, obviously. I'll judge it when I see it, but I have no expectation. Especially coming off Batfleck. I know he killed people. Batman shouldn't do that. But so did Michael Keaton. He's my other favorite Batman. So, I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
I think I mentioned this at the last roundtable that I could see Robert Pattinson, if they went back far enough, kind of growing into the Batfleck character.
I would prefer that to a recast. Absolutely. Right. That's fine. I just, you know, the Hulk was bad enough in the Marvel Universe and War Machine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And... so just recasting breaks the illusion.
Don next Cheadle. Time, baby. Nope.
Next time. No, like, nope. That, that's, it's so... Oh, Batwoman. Let's, you know what? Let's talk about that for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Has anyone finished the season?
No, I have not. I couldn't.
I haven't even... I was going to binge it, so I'm waiting for that to be...
Bruce Wayne.
I've only seen one episode of Batwoman.
I tried. I gave it a shot. I couldn't finish.
I'm looking forward to watching it now. I'm just waiting for all the episodes to be
available. So, James, have you seen the whole season?
I have. I'll go ahead and take on the voice of the conversation for Batwoman because post crisis, it did get a leg up for whatever reason. It didn't have the most impact of crisis, but it just became better after it. Just somehow the actors maybe grew into the characters more. And Ruby herself, I was very surprised by the exit because she actually did get better. She looked like more into the role and she took it on, you know, more responsibly. It was just sad. It's like, wow, you were just getting good and you're just giving it up already.
All speculation aside, I think there's a lot of behind the scenes stories that we don't know yet and maybe we'll never know because there's like that joint statement and even she and Ruby Rose came out and said, well, those who know. But I'm not going to talk about it right now, but I'm leaving like that is a big red flag. I don't know what happened there. I don't know whose decision it was, but clearly they, at some point they decided this is not working from both parties and she's leaving. I would say this. I mean, I haven't watched every episode or anything like that. I will say that I think again, for recasting purposes, why not just bring in a new character to take on the mantle of Batwoman, like a Cassandra Cain, you know, or a Stephanie Brown from the comic books, or just, I just think if you bring in a new actor, like a soap opera or something, and like the role of Kate Kane is now being played by, you know, Wallace Day. Everybody wants her from Krypton to play. Well, I can see that. I'm a big fan of hers from Krypton, Wallace Day. She played Superman's grandma, spoilers, on Krypton. So, James, you're invested in the show. What would you like to see? Would you like to see a recast, or would you like to see a totally new character come in and take her place?
Now, was that the one that was trending? Was she playing Nyssa?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, yeah. My sister brought that up to me, and I was like, because she screenshotted me something, and the actress said that she really loved filming this one specific fight scene. I'm like, okay, fans, girl tweets she loves fight scenes, so let's give it to her. She wants the work. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I loved her work on Krypton. I think she's phenomenal. So I mean, sure, she could be great for that role. But what's interesting about Batwoman right now is that they have the, I think it's Skin Pirate, the whole thing about they taking another person's face. So, like, literally cutting off someone's face. Well, and then giving
Hush
you a
is
new
involved,
one.
You know? So
It's very, I, and I think the digital movie Hush came out, like, I don't know. Yeah, something like that. You know, I can't think of it right now. But I'm like, so that's, like, so fresh. So I'm like, it's pretty cool to see it in live action I don't know if it's for the first time, but it's still interesting. And so in my opinion, I mean, they could theoretically find it in the plot line where Kate, Batwoman, loses her face and, oh no, her vocal cords get shredded or something. I don't know. And they need to give her a new one. Oh, this is the new Kate. Okay. It's fine.
I think the easiest angle maybe, now I haven't seen this, so I'm just going off of the characters that I know of. Maybe it'd just be easier to transition from Batwoman to Batgirl to Barbara Gordon.
that would come out of nowhere for the show. I think James is on the right track. I figured that's what they were going to do, because like a large part of the second portion of the season, and even a little bit of the first, was really about the facelifts and changing vocal cords. And
it was really leaning into that. And I, you know, what I say about Batwoman is that if you took the time to watch each episode, you would look at the last three episodes and notice the breadcrumbs that they laid out for you to get to that point.
So you think that they might have seen this coming and like we're setting us up for this in the future?
I'm just saying, well, just based on not Ruby Rose's acting repertoire, but her social life. I never once understood how Ruby Rose would settle down in Vancouver for how many, you know, weeks in a year and do all that when she's usually out with blah, 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 and blah, 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 and all the tabloids are talking about blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just like, she's too popular and too up in that scale of fame to really settle down in little Vancouver for this amount of time. So it never made sense to me in that respect. Not that she couldn't do it, which she doesn't want to, or they don't want her. Like you said, it's kind of a mutual breakup between them both. So, you know, regardless, it's done, it's done.
Well, I definitely think if you're going to recast the character, you need to, especially if all this groundwork has been laid, they need to do an in-universe reason for her to look different instead of just a new person showing up. Oh, hey, Kate. You know, like, yeah. it's not, we've come a long way since Val Kilmer replaced Michael Keaton, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
I don't want to spoil anything, but so no one else has seen Batwoman post-crisis, have they?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I know what happens in this season finale, if that's what you're alluding to. So,
yeah. Well, right. Well, there's that. But I'm more importantly, I was thinking of is that Beth 99 or whatever survives Crisis and then ends up in, you know, Batwoman. And it's this huge thing where Kate decides to actually kill the sister, or let her sister of the actual universe, Alice, die so Beth 99 can live. And it's just, it was this huge arc. And I thought it was just very well done, and it's just interesting is because the actress Rachel Skarsten, I think, who plays Alice, she is a profound actor. She just does a much better job, I guess it's because the role is more of the nuanced crazy, but she could act circles around most of them.
Perhaps they should recast Batwoman with her, and she turns,
you know, I was like,
perhaps one into herself, you
know. if a Beth could already survive Crisis, another Beth could too. So,
I'm gonna watch it at some point. It's just there's the problem is there's too many shows, man.
Yep.
The season finale of Batwoman is great. I do have to say.
No, I mean they've been very fortunate not to have any real casting issues with any of the main cast up till now, and all the Arrowverse shows. I mean, you have people come and go, right? I mean, like,
well,
Colton Haynes.
Legends. I'm still upset
about Brandon Ray Ralph. And, yeah.
Yeah. He was the, I understand,
and Courtney Ford.
I mean, but to get, of course, now they're kind of like a tailored package. So if they were to go, they were going to go together. Mm-hmm. And it's, they did have a place in the show that really kind of, in the last few episodes without them, you kind of don't really notice it because they're leaning into the material that they've been waiting on for most of the season anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like they're making up for it, but you still feel like, where's, you know?
Oh no, I definitely feel that his presence is missed on the show for sure. Like it's like I think Legends has been missing something, and I think that something is Brandon Routh.
What did he added to the show you couldn't measure?
Yes,
in just screen time alone and stuff like that. And when it comes down to their whole revolving door, I'm like, okay, give me that revolving door and explain to me Charlie again. Okay.
Well, they keep re-explaining Charlie. Like, Charlie's somebody different all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys figure out who Charlie was during the break between 4, or between 5 and 6, not between 3 and 4. Yeah. Okay?
On Legends, what do y'all think of this new Zari and Constantine thing that they're working on?
Because according to the last episode, that's kind of... She's more excited that her brother's back, and then old Zari is back with Nate. So,
I guess I'm an episode behind.
Yeah,
it was some double trouble. Yeah,
yeah.
Casey and Arthur Ritchie, man. I have no idea what they're talking about. You have to make choices when there's six TV shows, okay?
Yeah. So. I'm not caught up on Legends either.
But I don't care about, I don't mind spoilers. I mean, because it's like, look, I'm on Twitter, so every day is a spoiler for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm still halfway through the first season of Black Lightning.
So what do you think?
The first half of the first season of Black Lightning's great. I like it.
Very good show. Mm-hmm. That was the right answer, Dallas. Well done.
You know, if you add up all the seasons of all the Arrowverse shows so far up to date, not counting Stargirl, because I think it might have started.
Oh, yeah.
It did start.
Yeah, two episodes in.
29 seasons worth of TV shows.
Wow.
Does that count, Stargirl? Is that part of it? Same world?
Well, it airs on CW.
Yeah.
So
didn't they show in Crisis it was part of whatever universe?
It's Earth 2.
After?
It's the new Earth 2. Because pre-Crisis, the Arrowverse, they numbered the Earths all wrong, and Earth 3 was Earth 2.
Yep.
You know, with the villain. I mean, I just, that's, I mean, when you have, traditionally in DC Comics, Earth 3 is where, like, the heroes were villains, and you had, you know, Black Siren and Zoom and guys like that. So in my headcanon, that was Earth 2, and then their Earth 3 was Earth 2, because Jake Garrick was there, and is Jake Garrick back? Somebody tell me? John,
not yet.
Ship?
No, not yet.
We're never going to see the Justice Society. I thought Stargirl was the Justice Society. It was Jake Garrick as the. See, they effed it all.
Uh-uh. Yep.
They had a chance to fix it, and they still didn't fix it with the Crisis.
I always wondered when they're talking about this is Earth 1, this is Earth 2, Earth 59, whatever. Who decides what gets what number?
Yeah, how did Barry Allen not, like, from Earth 90? Yeah. I'd be like, screw you, man. I'm Earth 1. I'm not Earth 90.
Yep.
That's disrespectful. I feel disrespected. Smallville is 167. That feels so insignificant. And I know that it was and I mentioned this in our Crisis episodes, right? But it was a reference to the year that Al Goff and Miles Millar were born, 1967. But again, like, why not be Earth 67? Or why not be Earth 10? Because it ran for 10 seasons. Like, there's so many. But 167?
Earth 237? Is that how many episodes there were?
There's a
217.
217 or 18 217. If you count Absolute Justice as two episodes.
Yeah.
So that's a big asterisk.
218.
So, anyway. Or Finale. Maybe that counts as two episodes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's the thing about... I mean, come on. This is Smallville we're talking. 167?
Yeah.
It's disrespectful. Anyway.
That should be Earth 1.
I think, for the record... that finale counts as one episode. It's just part one and part two when it re-airs, because it only had the one title. Absolute Justice, it had two separate titles, I believe.
Absolute
Society
Justice.
And Legends.
Yeah,
you know, Casey, if I disagree with you, I wouldn't anymore, because you said that with such authority. So well, he's the episode expert there. So how far? So last time we talked on the 33-1, you were just finished Arrow season 4, Casey. Is that right?
Yeah, and I've been slow because I've been watching Disney Plus and recently HBO Max.
There we go, HBO Max! We'll get there in a second.
Which is how I watched Aquaman and Shazam. But the last episode I watched today was Supergirl, Mr. and Mrs. Mixia Spitalik.
That's the original Mixia Spitalik before they recast him with the guy from Reno 911.
Yeah.
okay.
Who was Bruce Wayne's doctor in The Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there. So you have no cartilage in your knee. So that guy. So, but hey, you know what? See, that's a recast that makes sense, because he's Mixel Spitalik. He can change appearance. Mm-hmm. That's fine. They're recasting Sam Lane for Superman and Lois for some reason, which is odd.
Yeah.
I hope they don't recast Lex Luthor. I can see them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, who else did they recast? Who else did they recast in the Arrowverse? Let's think about this. We're talking
Black
about
Canary.
That's true.
not even care from the pilot. We've talked.
Well, that's what's great.
I think that's
episode.
Forgivable, though.
Well, no, there. Well, yes, because it's two short flashbacks. But what's funny to me about the Black Canary recast?
Yeah.
There is an episode of Arrow season 1 that revolves around the fact they found a picture that looks like Sarah, and they think it's her, and it's the original actress instead of Katie Lotz, and it would be easier to overlook if they didn't have an episode surrounding that. Now, to their credit, they reshot not all, but some of the flashbacks with Katie Lotz in season 2, but I guess that is the huge one.
Yeah.
But that is, if you're going to recast, that is forgivable. Let's have a deep fake or something with the original actress and Katie Lotz special edition Blu-ray. But other than that, I think they've been.
I still want her Starling City Rockets hat, though.
The Starling City Rockets hat. That was a huge hook, right?
It was.
She's wearing the Starling City. She took it with her on the boat. God
And then even Diggle was just like, he's like, yeah, you know, my dad took me to the Rockets game.
Oh, man. Let's, see, they need to add Diggle to Legends of Tomorrow.
You know, I don't know who who does this, but I've seen jerseys of movie teams like Mighty Ducks and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you could send
You know there's a real Mighty Ducks team, Casey.
I'm talking about actual.
No, I got you. Like Major League, the baseball team. Totally.
I've seen that stuff in stores, too.
The Indians are real, by the way.
You can get a Waterboy jersey.
Yeah, you can get a Bobby Boucher football jersey.
At one point, you could buy a Smallville Crows jersey online. Mm.
The jacket. Like
with the Luther Corp patch. I remember seeing that. I thought about it.
Speaking of recasting, I guess what's everyone's favorite recast actor? Like the actual recast actor, not the original. One that I particularly like, and I'm glad they did the recast because I liked the recast actor. This is going all the way back to Lois and Clark when they recast Jimmy Olsen. Because I really like Justin Whalen.
I 100% disagree with you. I like Michael Landis better.
Hold on. Landis is better. I enjoyed Michael Landis as well, but the way I remembered it as a kid, I didn't notice the recast because I was so young. So I remembered Justin Whalen more fondly originally.
Well, he looks more like Jimmy Olsen because I think one of the reasons they recast Michael Landis is they said he looked too much like Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Right. Like, did you guys not realize this when you cast him and worked with him for a year? Anyway, fair enough. I can see why you'd say that, though. I got you. I understand. So what about you, Chris? What do you think?
On the spot, this is hard. I'm going to pat. I can't think of anybody else. I'm racking my brain trying to think of recasts, and okay. I'm just drawing up blank. Does anybody else something else?
Dallas, you got anything?
When they recasted John McClane's tank top halfway through the first Die Hard movie.
Does it change tank top?
I don't know what you're talking about, but that's funny.
At the beginning of the movie, it's white, and then it turns to green. Or
I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
Die Hard.
Okay.
Cool. James, anything come to mind for you?
The Christmas movie.
Honestly, I can't think of that I've been a victim to that.
Do you have one, Lance?
Yeah. Seth Green instead of Jason Biggs for the voice of Leonardo on the Ninja Turtle show.
See, voice recasting, I mean, that doesn't really count.
It sure does. I'm not going to disrespect animation like you do on a daily basis.
Kevin Conroy is a good Batman.
He's the best Batman.
He's also a live-action Batman now. He killed Superman, so respect. So
I do have a good recasting, but I don't think anyone's going to get it. Mm-hmm. It was a recast from many, many years ago on Young and the Restless.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Which you
soap
already
operas.
Mentioned, soap operas.
That's what they do. And was there a voice that said, the role of Jason is now being played by, right?
I don't remember.
My mom used to watch soap operas, and I used to watch them sometimes when I was home over the summers with her. And that's what they do. The voice would be like, the role of Alexander is now being played by Jason Pitt.
Great recast. When they recast the first Becky with Sarah Chalk on Roseanne.
Oh, I'm gonna, when they recast Jerry's dad or George's dad on Seinfeld? Or both of them?
Both of them.
Jerry's they recast dad. Both their dads.
Both.
No,
they never recast George's dad.
No, it's Jerry's
George's
dad.
George's dad was always Jerry Stiller.
It was always Jerry Stiller?
All right. George's dad was always like Jerry Stiller? Gone, I thought they recast them both.
I feel like this has gone kind of sarcastic, like so I've got to give a sarcastic right now, answer yeah. now. And yes. I'm going to go with Morgan from Boy Meets World.
That's a good one!
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
And she comes up older.
Yeah, and they even referenced that also. That's so good.
I got one.
Yeah, she was grounded and stuck.
She was grounded for the entire time.
I feel like I was there for a year.
And then they brought them both back for Girl Meets World.
Yes, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
I have a real one.
You go first.
Savick from Star Trek 2 to Star Trek 3. Okay. Christy Alley in Star Trek 2, Robin Curtis in Star Trek 3. I liked Robin Curtis better because she actually acted like a Vulcan. Christy Alley didn't because she was supposed to be half Vulcan, half Romulan, but they cut that out of the movie, so it made no sense for her to be all mad and crying all the time. Granted, I didn't, you know, I grew up watching them on VHS tapes, so if I had seen Star Trek 2 first, like in a theater, I'd probably been really mad about them recasting, but being as they are, I liked Robin Curtis better. So there you go. You guys
so
know
that was
Star
the
Trek,
Jimmy
so
Olsen effect for you, Zach.
There you go. I understand, Casey.
So you just said one that I don't know about because I haven't seen Star Trek. I'm going to say one that I don't think you know about because when they recasted Dumbledore because Richard Harris died.
Oh, okay.
That was great.
I've heard about that. I haven't seen any of those. It was. Correct, but
that was good.
That's a good one.
Oh, what about the recast Morgan Edge on Smallville? That was actually pretty good. Because that, look at us bringing it all back around. Plastic surgery, vocal cords, right? Patrick Burian replaced Rutger Hauer. Actually, that's one of the rare recastings of like, he had plastic surgery, but I actually kind of bought it. You know, I was like, oh, I can see this guy as a character. But the dumb thing is they immediately kill him off. I'm like, why did you go to the trouble of all this just to kill him off? And so I always assumed that he'd come back, but he didn't. So
I always thought that was supposed to be more of a story point than an actual like recasting.
Well, no, it worked well for the story. That's why it works so well, because he's on the run. He's hiding from Lionel and from Clark, right? Or Cal. And but they were going to bring Rutger Hauer back, but he wasn't available for some reason, and the schedule didn't work out. So he was going to come back. They just didn't work out that way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You could tie Rutger Hauer into a bad recast for Rachel Dawes.
That's right. Okay, so you like Katie Holmes more than Maggie Gyllenhaal?
I don't know that I liked one better than the other. I just don't think it flowed. So like,
I have come around on this myself, because at the time I was like, good, get rid of the person from Dawson's Creek. But now
I'm not necessarily tied to Katie Holmes or not. I didn't think that drastic of a switch. I didn't think it was the same. It didn't feel like the same character to me.
Yeah.
Whether one was better than the other absolutely or not, right. It just didn't feel
the
same.
Because she's like, hey, Harvey, let's go home and have sex. You know, but it's like, no, Katie Holmes would be like, we're here to do the work, you know? And so, but also it's weird because of Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah.
Where Aaron Eckhart and Katie Holmes were playing like love interest in that. Yes. I'm like, but I just saw him with the real Rachel Dawes.
Uh-huh.
It's confusing because that came out in, what, 06?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I honestly don't think I noticed the first time I saw when they recast with Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Well, it was real trendy to hate on Katie Holmes at the time. It's like, well, the girl from the WB, and she was the Tom Cruise thing was a factor because she was married to him back then. So it was real trendy to be like, she was the worst part of the movie. And that love story, quote unquote, I guess was weak because like you guys were friends when you were kids, but you're in love and you're going to quit being Batman because she died. I'm confused. But anyway, they should have just wrote the character out or work something out with Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes for her to be back in the movie. I don't know what was going on there, but there was a lot of that was so, Ruby Rose situations. It's behind the scenes stuff. We never really got the full story. So anyway, recasting, right? It's fun.
I did want to say that I remembered that Lacey Chabert was replaced with Mila Kunis in Family Guy for the voice of Meg.
Oh, yeah.
Animation. Yeah. Yep.
Did anybody watch The Big Bang Theory?
No.
A completely different Penny. They shot a whole other pilot and then they replaced her with Kaley Cuoco.
Oh, I heard about that. See, those don't necessarily count. Like, but you're right. She did get recast. But that episode never aired, right? It's like an unaired. It's right. Like, oh, Smallville, Cynthia Ettinger
to Roseanne.
Getting recast in Ed O'Toole. Same situation.
It's all connected. Bring it back to Smallville.
Tie it back to Roseanne. On HBO Max as well. DJ.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max.
If I could circle, we kind of danced around something. I meant to bring this up earlier. Somebody was talking about, almost. Someone was talking about Diggle getting the ring and are we ever going to see him as Green Lantern? Mm-hmm. And then I think Zach or Lance mentioned something about Legends. And we kind of went off. But I had the thought that Legends would be the perfect show for him to finally show up as Green Lantern.
Well, the problem with that is, I know, and Chris, you mentioned Superman and Lois because Diggle moved to Metropolis, but also the problem with what you said, Dallas, is they have that Green Lantern show on HBO Max, and I don't think they're going to allow to be more than one, because you know what? People are going to be confused. They're not going to be able to understand
that there's more than one. Can't wrap our minds around.
If there's one effing character, you can have more of a Green Lantern, right? So I just want to see more of Diggle, Dave Ramsey. You know, Lance and I were talking about this, you know, just as he's friends the other day. And like the reason why Diggle, like, was like the payoff to his character being Green Lantern, it was because we love Diggle as a character.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we like it. Like, I mean, to me, I was like, yes, when he became he got the ring. I thought that was great. And I want to see more of him in the universe. But I don't know if they're going to keep him on retainer or whatever. I would love to see him pop up in shows.
He deserves a show, I think. Yeah. And again, we loved him getting that because Diggle is worthy of that honor of being a Green Lantern. He's already proven himself to be, you know, a hero, and he's proven himself time and time and again that he has courage, he has the heart. And it's cool if it's John Diggle is the character we keep moving forward with.
And we know that in an alternate universe, he's John Stewart because he has the stepdad. Yeah. So that's covered. On Earth 90, him and John Wesley Shipp are hanging out
yes.
in Green Lantern and the Flash together.
But on Earth 1, he is John Diggle.
Do you think maybe if they didn't start trying to be the social justice heroes, like being very on point with Supergirl and Batwoman on trying to make the cases and things like that, that maybe they would be more open to a superhero show, like an alien superhero show like Green Lantern?
Well, I don't think they have the budget.
I think it's budgetary.
I think it's really just a matter of, like, HBO Max has the budget. That's why they get to be the...
And to be fair, I've some of you, like, you've seen me say this on Twitter at some point. I totally called, like, their formula for a Green Lantern show. You know, like, I called that, like, years ago. I've said, like, it's like Green Lantern can't necessarily, in my opinion, work on... as a movie. It needs to be fleshed out in on a TV show on a network like HBO, using multiple lanterns, multiple timelines, and all this other stuff. I've said this many, many times. I should be getting credit for this, and I should be getting royalties.
Well, we're all going to give you credit. Everybody give him credit right now.
I give you credit, Lance.
Give me all of the credit.
No, I just think I really think that Green Lantern show is kind of beyond the scope of what they can do on CW. That's why I wanted just Hal Jordan to show up on Arrow, like, as a pilot. And, like, all right, good,
he
we're covered.
He did. Remember?
Yeah, I saw his effing name tag,
his
Dallas.
Jacket.
Look, Hal Jordan should have been in season 3 of Arrow and taught Oliver Queen how to fly. And then you see him as a pilot, and he disappears, like they say in The Flash, and you never hear from him again. And then maybe down the line, when you have a budget, you have him show up as Green Lantern. And maybe if they do something like Crisis on Infinite Earths, oh, wait, we did that. Yep. We had no Green Lanterns and no Wonder Women in it. So fail on you, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
It's very true.
Yeah, that was really shocking that there was no Wonder Woman even mentioned.
If only they had Linda Carter as a recurring guest star in one of their shows, maybe they could have worked that out. Oh, wait, they did, and they still didn't do it. So I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, I think if we're all ready for it, it's time to talk about the Snyder Cut.
The what?
So Dallas, I know you were the biggest fan of the Snyder Cut, I think, of all of us here. Is that correct?
Absolutely. In fact, I believed when a lot of people online did not believe that that even existed. This was something Zack Snyder, not Schneider, Snyder, he probably, he definitely had this vision from the time he started Man of Steel, and definitely by the time he put Dawn of Justice together. And so I didn't think that, you know, at least storyboard elements of it, just, and especially all the stuff that came out after, you know, 6 months after the Justice League movie release, when he was releasing storyboard art and stuff and giving his own and telling people, you know, this is what I would have done. So I believed there was a lot more, even if it was just raw footage that was unfinished, I always believed that it had to be there. There was some portion of it. It might not have been finished. And then, you know, what was it? About a month ago when I heard, or actually before that, there was video footage of him at, like, a signing that was going around the internet, and someone asked him about the Snyder Cut. And this was long after the hashtag release of the Snyder Cut had been, you know, trending. And he was like, yeah, of course it exists. It exists. There is my version of the film. And, you know, it was just somebody recording on their phone. And that just blew my mind. And then I heard not too long ago, he hosted kind of like a watch party and showed his completed version of the film. You know, we don't know how raw that was or whatever, but laid it out for WB execs. And then not 3 weeks later, we get this announcement, Zack Snyder's Justice League coming to HBO Max 2021. And I had to change my pants. That's where I'll leave it. And let's hope, you know.
Well, Chris, what about you? What are your thoughts on the Snyder Cut?
I guess I never doubted its existence, just because I know there was a big fan outcry for it, but the fact that, like, Jason Momoa and Ben Affleck and His name's escaping me. The guy, right? Is it Fisher?
Yes, Ray Fisher.
Play Cyber.
Ray Fisher.
Fisher. Like that.
Gal Gadot as well. Everybody was retweeting it.
Yeah, that they're actively saying that they want to see it, release it. It's amazing. Like that. I mean, that kind of stuck out to say, yeah, okay, this is something that's there. I'm excited for any more of it. Like I'll eat up any of the DC Justice League type, anything Superman.
Superman without a mustache.
Yeah, I just hope they do him justice. I don't want to see evil Superman. I don't want to see
ha 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 ha.
I want to see a weaker version. Like I want to see Superman. That's what I like out of these. So I'm excited to see what happens, how it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. Excited.
And I think a lot of the breadcrumbs were there if you look at the trailer and then you watch the movie.
Yeah,
you know, there's so much that was in the trailer that just didn't make it to the movie or the DVD, and we never got that extended cut like we did with all the previous, even Suicide Squad, which did we really need more of that film? But we got extended cut anyway.
Like, what makes me nervous is the dream sequence in Batman v Superman, mm-hmm. you know, where Flash shows up and says,
"It's too soon."
Yeah, it's too soon, and basically hints at what might be coming in the future. Like, I don't want to see that play out as much.
Well, I think we are going to see that. We're going to see the Flash. It's one of these storyboards that Snyder has been sharing stuff for
a while now.
It's a couple of years now. I want to say, like, he's been doing it the right way. You know, he hasn't been like, he's let the fans do all the outcry for him, and he's just like, "Hey, guys, here's a little piece of this, here's a little piece of that.
Right.
Not saying this, not saying that, but here's what I would have done." There is a storyboard of the Flash running back in time, so I think that's going to happen here. So who? I have no idea how that's going to set. But Darkseid's going to be in this.
UXSer, is it? What's his name? Isn't it like UXAA?
Yeah, UXAS. Or yeah, he's pre. Yeah, so the flashback of a Steppenwolf coming to Earth to try to take it over—that's Darkseid. That's going to be Darkseid, and also they're going to see Darkseid through like a boom tube at the end of the movie, after they defeat Steppenwolf or something. So that's an understanding, because the motion capture and voice actor guy has said, "Yeah, I'm coming back and shooting some stuff and doing some work for them." So anyway, that's cool. But Casey, what do you think, man? What do you have any skin in this game about the Snyder Cut?
Honestly, I haven't been keeping up with the stuff that Zack Snyder's been posting. I've just been heard that he has been posting stuff.
You don't have a Vero account?
What is a Vero account?
Zack Snyder is the only person who has a Vero account, as I understand it. No, that's just, I don't know, it's some Twitter type social media thing.
It's kind of like a social media for Zack Snyder type people, just like content creators. And
that's where he posts all this stuff. And so I see people take screenshots of it and post it on Twitter. That's how I
exactly
see it. So anyway,
I get a feeling that someone very who is a very political influencer is going to soon have a Vero account.
Yeah. So I see what you mean there. All right. So what about you, James? Any take on the Snyder Cut?
I'm happy for my dad because he can now shut up about it. I'm not too invested in it. I mean, I appreciate Joss Whedon and what he did. I'm not going to say that's going to change my mind. I'm sure I'm going to be excited to see what is to come out of it, but I don't think that it really means much in terms of the film itself, but what it means for the future of how films are going to be taken and what we're going to do about them. You know, what I mean is, now that fans have clearly shown the power struggle, that the power lies with them. Well, now I saw more things about the Ayer cut, because apparently there's still so much footage left over from Jared Leto. Back to the point of, I never believed that the Snyder Cut didn't exist, because no one just deletes footage for fun. No one, you know, they're not just going to leave it on the cutting room floor and then toss it out. You know, it always existed. Whether or not they were going to do anything with it, you know, that was to be determined. So what it comes down to, I don't care for Leto, but I know that there are like supposedly just 3 hours of him alone doing whatever he did.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, no one wants to see that. But if there was such an outcry, guess what? They could theoretically, you know, hey, we want the Ayer cut now. And guess what? HBO Max wants more streamers. So
that is what they're doing right now. And I will say this, I'm for the Snyder Cut, but David Ayer used to kind of get in line, I think. Because he's getting real, because, you know, Snyder has been very, Like, he was never, like, out there on the front lines pushing for this. So people would ask him, he'd give answers, he'd give teases. Air is, like, he's trying to ride the coattails of the Snyder Cut. Like, he is on Twitter every day, like, oh, hey, man, well, we were going to do this, we're going to do that. And, like, it's a totally different situation.
If I were him, though, I don't, can you blame the guy for doing it? Because if I see that, because let's keep it a buck. Justice League, you can say what you want about it, like whether you like, you know, whether you liked it, hated it. It wasn't as successful as people thought it was going to be, right? You know, like even with everything that happened, at the end of the day, Justice League was not as successful as people wanted it to be. And so, and then to add on to that, like there's a possibility of something else that could possibly be better. And now we're going to get that possibility. And so now you have another movie within the same universe that was also not as successful as people thought it was going to be. And then that person who was in charge of that is seeing that, well, this other guy gets the possibility. So why can't I have the possibility? And that is the precedent that has now been set. And that's where it is also kind of dangerous, because now moving forward, movies that aren't successful, you can now make the argument that, like, well, you know, you can go back and say, well, my version of the my film was not made, and you can use that card, and you can likely get whatever, you know, you can get what you want, and it might not actually be as great as you say it is, or as bad as people might think it is. It could just be kind of whatever. So, you know, that's kind of what we're facing here. With as far as Justice League is concerned, I was never in doubt that there was a Snyder Cut. But my position on it was, until it is, it's, you know, my one of my favorite quotes, Qui-Gon Jinn, if until the possible becomes the actual, it is only a distraction. So now that we have it, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm in the back of my mind, though, like, it's going to open the door for things that probably, like, aren't as good. And people are going to, like, retroactively be like, well, actually, my version didn't get out there. And then we're going to do this all over again with all sorts of things. It started with Snyder. And then now and then it will likely happen with Ayer, and then things that come after that also follow this line will probably do the same.
So for those of you who are like, Qui-Gon Jinn never said that, that is from the novelization of episode
one.
One or three?
It's one.
I think it was three.
It's in the prequels.
I don't know. It's been on your Facebook profile. Where are the quotes? You guys have what happened to the quotes on your Facebook profile?
Oh, you
they're still
what?
There. You have to look for them.
That was your quote.
They
in college.
Are.
Yeah.
You have to dive.
Are they still there?
It's like
an about
the other day. No, like you like literally, you have to go into the about, into the details, and then wait. Like, still, it's so much work. It's too much work.
I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
No, you know, for the Snyder Cut, right? It's like I think it's interesting that they're talking about cutting it up into six parts. So let's face it here, right? The reason this is coming is, hey, the fan movement, absolutely, but also HBO Max. So HBO Max is a streaming service, and they need something like The Mandalorian for Disney Plus to kind of pull people in. They've seen the success there, like, well, we got this movie sitting here. And I think if they keep it, and I understand you guys, this is a good point, James and Lance talking about, like, you know, we're Pandora's box, we're opening here, right? But if you keep these things as, like, exclusives on streaming services, and then of course they come out on home video at some point, right? Mm-hmm. But I think using them, like, if you have all this footage, you can, it takes a little bit of money, do a little post-production, you polish it up, you put it on a streaming service that drives people to your service, that's why they go check it out. And that's why they're talking about releasing it either as one big four-hour movie or cutting into, like, six 30-minute episodes, like, weekly to keep people subscribed or something. I think either way, I think we'll get both versions. If they decide to cut it up, I think there'll be like a, you know, Watchmen, Zack Snyder to Watchmen. There's your theatrical cut, there's your director's cut, and there's that ultimate cut with the pirate cartoon in. Mm-hmm. That's with Gerard Butler doing the voice. So I think when it eventually will come to home video, maybe in a year or two, it'll
2022.
Because it'll be on HBO Max in 2021. It'll probably come on home video in like 2022 at the earliest, I'd say. I think then they'll release like the ultimate 4-hour straight through cut. But my point is, they need content. This is content, and I think it's great. I'm like, just release the air cut on HBO Max. Release. I like to see the Joel Schumacher original version of Batman Forever on HBO Max. Like, just do it. Why not? All you got to do is you got to scan the film, the work print from the archives. You clean it up a little bit in post production. You pay. I don't know. You throw like $5 million at it, which sounds ridiculous. Listen to me talking about $5 million. But like, you know, these shows they make, they cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and they already own all this stuff. It's already almost done. So just do the post-production on that stuff. Put it up there. I want to see extended versions of the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. They exist. these TV cuts that I've never seen, like from the 80s that they used to show on ABC and stuff. I've never seen them. Find that stuff, scan it, put it on these services, and then it doesn't replace. I my thing is, as long as all the versions are available, do whatever you want with anything. That's the problem with Star Wars, because they like destroy all the, you know, they lock up all the original versions and only give you the special edition. So that's my take on this stuff. And I'm excited to see it. You get more Batfleck, which is my favorite thing, apparently, based off this conversation. And then, you know, God, the mustache on Henry Cavill's face is just embarrassing. So let's get rid of that, you know. And I, you know, honestly, and I liked Justice League enough, I guess. Like, it had issues, but coming out of it, I felt better than coming out of Batman vs. Superman.
Same.
So it's a very complicated emotions about these movies, but I'm interested to see what else there is. So that's all. I mean, when Batman vs. Superman, I was in a bad mood, and I was in a good mood when I came out of Justice League. So.
These are both facts. I was there.
He was there. What's interesting to me is Zack Snyder has said in his version of Justice League, Superman is going to have a black suit, right? But we've seen all the behind the scenes stuff. He's in his real suit. But I think, you know, there's all these rumors, right? The word is that, like, they made him put him in the real suit, so he's like, whatever. But now that has control of Justice League again, I guess they're just going to color correct his suit frame by frame to be black. And then I thought to myself, when people say the black suit, it's not like the black suit from Man of Steel with the cape. If anyone has read The Death and Life of Superman, he doesn't have the cape. But what has annoyed me for years about superhero movies is finally going to pay off. Because most of the time, they don't have a cape on. They CGI that thing.
Yeah,
so all right. They got to do... it's not CGI in the cape, and it's the real Death of Superman costume. I don't know.
If they're gonna do a black suit, I hope they do that. No cape.
Yeah, because it's not the same. Yeah. Right. it's the whole point was it's different, so I don't... whatever.
Is he gonna have a mullet, though?
Yeah, like, well, that's the dumbest thing about the theatrical Justice League. He had a mustache. Here's a crazy thought. Just put a beard on him, and it's fine.
Yep.
And it's that easy. Like in Hereafter on the Justice League Unlimited episode where he has the beard. He looks badass.
He looks awesome.
Everybody looks more badass than the beard. That's why I have a beard right now.
Same.
I call it a beard. It's disappointing. Like, compared to Lance's beard, it's very disappointing. But as you can see by my questionable beard, this is why I don't have facial hair all the time, guys. So
it's more than I can do. Says all these other guys have thick facial hair, too. Dallas has got the beard working. Casey's got the goatee.
Actually, I've kind of got the whole Hereafter from
Justice League
Unlimited
working. Yeah, there it is. Excellent. Let's scan your face in for the Snyder Cut. also, I do want to shout out James and Chris. They have some awesome Smallville backgrounds for our Zoom meeting here today. We have James is hanging out with the Talon. And do you live in the apartment upstairs, James? Is that what you're doing?
No. Chloe and Lois and Lana and Jason and everyone's
Jamie. Get in line, bro.
Still busy. Yeah.
And then Chris is hanging out in the Daily Planet.
Speaking of the Daily Planet, the episode of Supergirl I watched today, I noticed the building in the background as they were doing kind of the fight scene between Supergirl and Mixia Zpitalik.
Oh, is it the Smallville Daily Planet, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, tying it all together, is featured in Blade Trinity.
Yep.
Like, oh, really?
They go into that building and jump off of it. It's very, very clearly that building. The only difference in Smallville and in real life, because that's in Vancouver, is the Daily Planet globe. Mm-hmm. The building itself is exactly the same. The green roof, everything else is the same. Well, yeah. So I have subscribed to HBO Max. I feel like, you know, if you're going to sit here and do a hashtag all day long, you need to kind of support it with your wallet. Because that does no good if no one signs up for it, right? So that's why I signed up for it. I've already watched a couple movies on there. They got some cool stuff in there. They got a lot of WB stuff. They got WB, obviously. Turner Classic Movies is on there. Everything HBO is on there. Like, I have never watched Westworld, so I'm looking forward to checking that out. So there's stuff on there. Like, I'm going to enjoy it. And I signed up early, so I got it for $11.99 instead of $14.99. So
I did the same thing, and naturally they also have... tons of DC movies on there as well, including obscure movies like Steel.
Oh, that is, yes, that is on the to watch list.
Shaq.
That we're gonna do a commentary on that, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
But we're doing a commentary on Steel, so you can all watch it on HBO Max.
I was just saying, I'm a little disappointed that you can't watch HBO Max on like a Fire TV or a Fire Stick.
I think they'll get there. Like, I don't know when they launch these services. Like, CBS All Access was the same. It's like, get your shit together before you watch these.
You can watch HBO Go and HBO Now, but not...
Yeah, that was a fail.
Yeah.
No, that's confusing because people are confused. HBO. Yeah. Yeah, because you have Go and Now and Max. I'm like, can we just get some... We need a crisis to wipe all these extra HBOs out.
I just use my Chromecast.
When I updated my to HBO Max, it was just the HBO Now app.
Yeah, they just updated it.
Yeah, as of Wednesday was the launch date.
Yeah.
So it was HBO Now and before it launched, and then when it launched, it became HBO Max.
Yeah.
So
on your your phone and stuff, but it depends on the platforms that it doesn't work on. It's just HBO Now still.
Two things about streaming: have any of y'all tried that? Are getting at the Peacock?
No,
NBC run one.
Has it launched?
Too many.
It hasn't launched yet.
No, it's available if you pay for cable and you have Verizon Xfinity. Anyway, it sucked. It wasn't supposed to launch until the end of this year, but they rushed it because of coronavirus. And like, just the app itself is so clunky and terrible, and it's awful. But where I was going with the HBO Max thing, and they're getting so many WB properties, is WB still thinking about moving forward with their own, like, cramming what's DC Universe into their own, or are they just going to sell everything to HBO Max?
I think they'll fold DC Universe into HBO Max. I think the reason why it's not combined right now is all the comic book stuff, because that's a whole nother service. So I don't know when they would do that, but it just makes sense to put all those together. Because if you look at HBO Max, you look at the DC section, and there's some good stuff on there, but a lot of it's not on there. It's on DC
Even
Universe,
in the first season of Batwoman is on
HBO
So
they don't
Max.
Have, like, the old... Yeah. Like,
so everyone catch up on Batwoman. It's on HBO. Like. You have no excuse. It's on HBO Max.
Excellent.
You think Smallville will go there eventually?
I don't know how long their
contract
is with Hulu.
But, like, they're the only thing on Hulu. Like, they should be on HBO Max now.
Right.
Well, you know, they should have been on DC Universe, but they were already on Hulu.
Hey, well, no one talk bad about Hulu here. Hulu is what brought Smallville into the streaming world.
That's
okay?
True.
So, I am forever thankful for that. I think we get a lot more listeners because of Hulu.
It's true.
Right? I mean, I think they should give me a free account because I was pimping them out.
You were.
I was letting people know, did you know Smallville's on Hulu? You know.
Yeah, now you're pushing for a free HBO Max account.
Absolutely. I'm like, hey, I let them know that I paid for HBO Max because of the Snyder Cut. I think that's important because you have people looking at all these numbers. And if, like, seriously, if you want the air cut or whatever else, right, if this doesn't do well, if the Snyder Cut does not drive up subscriptions, they're not going to do anything else like this.
I paid for it so I could finish watching The Big Bang Theory, and I also started watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for the first time.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Enjoy.
I will say that when it comes down to the Snyder Cut, I've been holding this in that when it comes out, you know, just be careful what you wish for. Because if people don't like it, or if it's not what they imagined, they get disappointed. Well, that's what you wanted. You wanted to feel this way because you got it. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Hey,
that's a great point.
Does anyone remember the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was mythical for decades. It was like, well, you know, Richard Donner, and you know, we're not going to go into that here. We actually did a podcast about it.
You sure did.
On the Smallville, you guys check it out. We were talking about Superman 2. I think we hit all the big points there on that. But that came out in 2006. And to tie in with Superman Returns, and the best version of Superman, yes, the year of Superman, very good. The best version of Superman 2 is in between those two, because honestly, this Donner cut, other than getting the Marlon Brando footage of Jor-El, everything else is disappointing, especially that they reused the ending from Superman the movie, which is a terrible idea. But Richard Donner hated Richard Lester so much, who took over the movie, and I guess I get it, because the guy took his job and took over his movie.
Yeah.
He wanted to use as little Richard Lester footage as possible. So that's why we got the kind of like cut and paste job we got with Donner Cut. I think the perfect version, we need a neutral third party to come in and take all the material from Superman 2 and you make the best version. But all that to say, it's going to be the Snyder Cut, though. It's different because he filmed everything. They're doing the post-production properly now. They're bringing in the right actors for ADR. It's not 25 years later. But James, you're absolutely right. We are fans. We are never satisfied. I'm sure a lot of people still not like Justice League. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, on some level, it's like Batman versus Superman. I think this extended version, if you liked it, you'll love it now or whatever. And if you're on the fence, I might push you over. But if you didn't like it, period, you're probably still not going to like it. But this is a radically different movie, so I don't know what to expect. But you're absolutely right. We should all keep things in perspective here.
Let's just hope it leads into them rejuvenating their plans. So
take us back to 2016.
Yeah, like getting things back on track. I mean, they had so many like teasers out there of what they're going to do, and maybe having this Snyder Cut come out, if it's received well, or you know, at least somewhat well, they can start leaning into other things, whether it's another Batfleck movie or whatever the case may be.
are we all concurred? So the best thing that I think we all want is for the Snyder Cut to be a huge success and everybody loves it, and for the Robert Pattinson Batman movie to just absolutely bomb.
Honestly, yes.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, but we've talked about most of it who's been here before. James, what's your take on the Pattinson, whatever. Are you excited for that? Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, creatively, I want the best story to be put out there. Regardless, now when it comes down to the Snyder Cut itself, I think if it turns out well and it's received well, I don't want that to mean that we're all going to be subscribed to Snyder Vision for the DCEU plan. That it's all his, that it's like, okay, guess what? They like me now again. It's all good. Here's my next, you know, sixth trilogy, whatever course. Like, I don't want him to be the shepherd of the ship.
The end all be all.
You know, right. Like, you know, I don't want him to be Kevin Feige. I don't want his decisions to lead the future of every DC character. He can have a few. He can have a story here and there, but I don't want him to collectively control the entire future of the landscape for the DCEU films. I mean, I respect him. I think he's done a great job, and him and his relationship with Christopher Nolan and all that. I love their work. It's great work. But at the same time, you don't want to always watch the same thing through the same lens. You need a different take, a different perspective, and it's not always what you're getting when you get Snyder Vision.
I mean, that's supposed to be Jeff Johns, isn't it?
He got fired after Justice League, so I don't know who's in charge anymore. But no, you're right, because look at Shazam, look at Wonder Woman, look at Aquaman. Those are all very different movies. But that's what's cool when you do the different things and then you put them together, right? Instead of like, if you, hey guys, we introduced the same exact style of Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. Not as cool to see those things come together because it's the same thing already.
After Avengers 2 and what he did to Justice League, there's only one company that should ever hire Joss Whedon again for one specific project, and that's Fox to do season 2 of Firefly.
Hashtag release the Firefly season 2.
Right. Well, when you talk about having all the different perspectives and different people steering the ship, that works great when you have people doing a good job in, but then, you know, Ryan Johnson comes in and
You got to have some oversight. This is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, that was what's her name? Kathleen
Kennedy.
Whoever runs Lucas, yeah, that's on her. You know, yeah,
you know, sure. You know what I like to point out. I'm never going to do a Star Wars podcast, but I use these as excuses to talk about Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy.
I'm in if you want to do that. Sign me up.
You know what's weird about The Last Jedi? That's the only Disney Star Wars movie that had no major behind-the-scenes shakeups. Like, because The Force Awakens, Harrison Ford got hurt, they took a break, they restructured some stuff, they reshot some stuff that came out. J.J. Abrams was there the whole time, but that was that. Rogue One, Gareth Edwards from Godzilla fame, directed it, and then they redid a whole lot of stuff, did a whole lot of reshoots. What's the guy's name? He did Nightcrawler, I think, or at least his brother did. Dan Gilroy, I think was his name.
It's like over half the movie, right?
Yeah, they reshot. I might be getting his name wrong, but I think Gilroy is his last name. But they reshot like at least a third, if not half of the movie. They redid the whole thing. Although, to be fair, they added the Darth Vader scene in the hallway, which is the best Star Wars thing Disney has ever done. So, hey, who knows, right? But that major changes, right? Last Jedi, nothing. Rian Johnson got to write and direct it all the way through. Right? It just did not change a thing. Solo, the guys from 21 Jump Street and Into the Spider-Verse, directed 90% of it, and then Kathleen Kennedy decided to fire them and reshoot everything with Ron Howard. I find it very amusing that they went on to win an Oscar for Into the Spider-Verse, so take that, Lucasfilm. And then,
you're damn right, take that.
and then Rise of Skywalker, Colin Trevorrow, who directed Jurassic World, he had creative differences with Kathleen Kennedy, so he left, and then they ended up bringing back J.J. Abrams. And everybody knows that Duel of the Fates script that came out that Colin Trevorrow wrote, I don't care what you say, that would have been a better episode 9, in my opinion, because it at least worked with what went before and tried to be a proper end to the saga. I recommend everybody go watch a video about that or something, because to me, that would have been a much better episode 9. That Coruscant is in there, right? Luke is a Force ghost and does stuff. Kylo Ren's a much more interesting character in that. They don't bring back the Emperor, which doesn't make any sense. So anyway, all that to say...
Oh! I finally saw episode 9 since our last roundtable.
What'd you think, Dallas?
You were exactly right, Zach. Kylo Ren's last line is out.
Oh man!
Spoiler alert.
Like, you know, it's weird that like the Last Jedi, the one that like blew everything up, is the one that had no controversy, no director replacements. Just one guy wrote and directed it. Just do whatever you want, Rian Johnson. And then here we are, right? And this
actually what? Right before this movie, or right before the taping of this, I was just sitting down with the family and watching a movie that was co-produced by Kathleen Kennedy. A little movie called E.T. at the Extraterrestrial. My little cousins had never seen it before.
She has worked with Lucasfilm for years. I mean, she's a I think she's a good business person on that front, but creative wise, highly questionable decisions have been made with Lucasfilm, because she's been on Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park. She's married to Frank Marshall, who's been a director producer, so she's been associated with Spielberg for decades. So I understand why Lucas was like, "Well, yeah, why don't you take over Lucasfilm? They can do a good job." So got to get my George Lucas impression in there, but man,
and of course, E.T. is a Jedi.
Yes,
yeah, that's true.
No, he's in the E.T.s are in the Phantom Menace.
They're
in the Senate. We're like, vote now, vote now. You see the E.T.s, but anyway,
this is Star how Wars, right? She dies.
Always hold on
fingers
to Star Wars. Alrighty, all well, that's been a fun conversation here. Any final thoughts? We'll go around the table here. James, let's start with you, man. Any final thoughts on our conversation tonight?
I would just like to say that I hope whatever the CW decides to pick with Ruby Rose, or whenever they decide in however which way format they release the Snyder Cut, they just need to, you know, cross their I's and dot their T's or whatever, because they only get so many second chances to get viewership and to get the audience back. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, my two cents.
Okay. Sounds good. What about you, Casey?
I'm just going to be trying to catch up to on the Arrowverse in time for Superman and Lois.
Well, you got other until 2021, so you're this is a great opportunity to get caught up.
Yeah, right? You're good.
What about you, Chris?
I just want to say dibs on always hold on to Star Wars.
Well, I mean, what is that, like 9 episodes? We can do that.
Yeah.
I think Zach's more focused on Star Trek podcasts, where we can all hear him on, what is that again, Zach?
That is Trek FM, although I just retired from that.
Oh, well, that damn, so I tried to plug.
That would have been a real good segue, Dallas.
Hey, so you're ready for Star Wars.
I'm ready for Star Wars. There
you
go.
Actually, you guys should listen to Franchise Fatigue.
See, there you go. That's my other podcast now.
What's Franchise Fatigue?
It's actually called Franchise Fatigue, without the R.
I said franchise.
Yeah, sorry, Dallas did it wrong. Case did it right. It's okay, because Dallas doesn't know what it is. So there's no problem.
I do. Again, trying to segue. This one didn't go as smoothly.
In the style of my confusing Twitter handle, Moron Zach. For more on Zach, go to my Twitter. I'm not a moron. But anyway... Franchise Fatigue is fans talk about franchises, so it's called Franchise Fatigue. And we talk about movies, sequels, remakes, reboots, when franchises get fatigued. We just covered, as of this recording, Back to the Future. Before that, we just covered Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Lance was on those.
I was.
So anyway, we're going to be doing the Unbreakable trilogy next. The East Rail 177 trilogy, I believe it's called.
Okay.
So that's next. Unbreakable.
Will you be binging the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No, that's not an association.
That's a fantastic show, by hilarious. The way.
Isn't that about the girl's friend from Full House?
No, that is the
Pam.
That's
the Pam
Aaron from the
from
Office.
The Office. Whose name was Kelly, by the way. They forgot.
Kelly Aaron Hannon.
Her name was Kelly, and then Idris Elba was like, because he was the boss then, he was like, I can't have two Kellys here. You're going to go by Aaron. And then she got married on the show, and they called her. It's like a Henry James Olsen situation going on with Kelly on The Office.
Just Aaron. Whenever when I heard of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, it made me think of the character from Full House.
There you go. Fair enough. Gibbler.
Yeah.
So Dallas, any last words then?
Lance just made me laugh harder than I have in like 2 weeks.
I mean, you looked really like he got you there.
I took my headphones off.
I see tears.
For me.
There we go. We all need some joy in these trying times. So.
Exactly. And then my final thoughts are, you know, hey, whatever happens in this crazy world, please don't let it in before the Snyder Cut's released.
We gotta hang on through 2021. We have
you
one
know
thing
what?
To look forward to.
On that note, I'm really glad that Avengers Endgame happened before coronavirus.
Actually, I think it would have been interesting if it hadn't. I mean, imagine that, right? That's the snap. That would Infinity War would have made more sense, right? And then we have to wait.
The 5 years.
So, we might have had the full 5 years.
5 years later.
Cool. Well, hey, before we sign off here, let's go around. If anybody has a Twitter handle or a way to reach themselves on their internet, let's say that. So, James, let's start with you. If people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
I can be found at Twitter and Instagram at SEMAJ. It's just James backwards and then 8595. And I have lots of opinions and stupid things to say all the time.
All right. Sounds good. What about you, Casey?
I am Casey Cochran 53 on Twitter.
All right. Chris?
I am CRFuke7 on Twitter.
And Dallas?
Dallas Fernandez lurking around the Always Hold On Smallville Facebook page.
Very good.
Also, if any single ladies of the DFW, look for me on Tinder and Bubble in about 2 weeks.
Well played, sir. We got a lot of single ladies in the DFW area listening to this podcast, I assure you. So,
fingers crossed.
The Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Here we go. So, and Lance, I forgot to intro you, but I'm not going to forget to outro you. Where can people find you online if people want to see you?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias.
All right. And as for me, you know me, Moron Zach, M-O-O-R-E-O-N-C-C-H. I'm not a moron. That's just a pun on my last name, which no one seems to get. And for the podcast, alwaysmallville@gmail.com is our email, and alwaysmallville on Facebook, and alwaysmallville with one S is our Twitter. I accidentally did that backwards, but I rolled with it. See how smooth that was? And then we have Franchise Fatigue. Franchise Fatigue. See, I even not make the same mistake, Dallas. Don't feel bad. Every time I mess that up. But you can find us on UFP Earth on Twitter. That is our podcasting network over there that you can find Franchise Fatigue on. As described earlier, what that podcast is about movie franchises. We'll be back in the near future with another 33.1. I hope everyone is enjoying their stay here. And we'll see you next time. So until then, always hold on to Smallville and release the Snyder Cut.
Because we're unbreakable.
Always Holding a Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Dallas Hernandez, Cavante Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jim Thomas, James Bandini II, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe McIndo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Figuerella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Justin Maitner, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Catherine Emmerich, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Will Hunt, Nathan Ruthcatcher, Clunk Kent, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jerry Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirsch, Anthony Anderson, Joey Dunberg, and Jasmine Magali. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.